Rock Stops here tonight. They're a bunch of unlikely heroes, but they're fighting one of the most critical battles of our times, the battle against fake news. The vicious cycle of fake news, manufactured outrage, and increasing polarization is now spilling out of social media and into the real world in the form of violence, including most recently in Bengal's Bosirhat, where a morphed image of the Kaaba sparked off communal tension, and then more fake images were used to fuel further tension. Earlier, there were the mob lynchings in Jharkhand, where 7 people were killed after being mistaken for child lifters thanks to fake WhatsApp forwards. Well, this evening, we're joined by Prateek Sinha, co-founder of AltNews.in, Pankaj Jain, who started social media Hoax Slayer, and Jen C. Jacob, managing editor of Boom Life, to explain to us how they call out fake news and fake news websites, and why fact-checking has become one of the most important things the media can do in the age of post-truth and alternative news, also what we as individuals can do. Prateek, let me begin with you. Jharkhand and Bosirhat in Bengal, some instances in Kashmir, there are many more, but these have shown that fake news can be nothing short of deadly on occasion. Has the battle against fake news become particularly critical in India now?
Definitely, especially, and this has been going on for a while. It started in Pune when, if you remember, a morphed image that in that case of a Hindu god led to the lynching of a Pune techie, while he had got nothing to do with either with the morphing or with the circulation. And this has been going on. And at this point of time, if we don't take this battle to the next level, then, episodes like Jharkhand will keep happening again and again.
But let's talk about concrete instances. AltNews.in, in fact, called out several posts and images during the Bosirhat riots. They seem to have been deliberately picked from the internet, from other sources, in order to fuel tensions and incite violence. Can you cite a few of them for us, and what was the process that was used to call them out?
There were images from 2002 riots that were picked up. There were images from a Bhojpuri movie where, the movie was actually about, women's rights, where right. A woman is, a sari is being taken off a woman, but that was shown as if somebody is being molested in Bosirhat. So these kind of images were picked up and they became absolutely viral on Facebook, WhatsApp, etc. So, that also creates a further sentiment of hate between two communities.
And is it particularly, does it become a particular problem when, for instance, somebody who is already in the public life or is a political figure actually forwards these without checking on veracity? Because in this instance, there was a BJP member from Haryana who reposted one of those, in fact, the Bhojpuri film clip, or for that matter, a BJP spokesperson in Delhi who shared that poster that had used a Gujarat riots image to talk about the violence in Bengal.
Definitely. Anytime any fake news is validated by people of certain political stature, it gives validity to that piece of fake news. And this has happened again and again with, members of parliament sharing absolutely fake news, fake quotes from A.R. Rahman, etc., etc. So this is a continuing process where, fake news is being given validity day in and day out by senior people right. In the political ecosystem.
Jen C. Jacob, a recent BBC online survey talked about how 75% of its respondents, and it had surveyed people in 5 countries, including India, it said specifically that in the case of India, 75% respondents said they couldn't really tell fake news apart from actual news. Now, that's an alarming statistic. What do we as individuals do when, something looks or smells a little off? How do we begin to distinguish what is fake and what is real?
Yes, Ankita, that's a very important question, because at the end of the day, now where are we all sourcing this information from? It is either WhatsApp or Twitter or Facebook. And many of these stories, if you look at it, when they are coming on WhatsApp, they will come in form of forwards. You won't have a very credible link along with it. Even otherwise, when there are probably links associated with it, you are not very sure whether those are very credible links or not. This is probably one of the reasons why many a times even editors on Twitter fail to identify whether the story is valid or not. A very prime example that I can give you is the Time cover image that had gone about a month back, where Donald Trump was shown as liar-in-chief. We disproved it. We said that was not a Time cover. Now, many of the editors had shared that image. So it's not as if it's only the common man who's being troubled by it. even journalists many times are not able to identify whether it is fake news or not, which is why it is so important that you do a simple thing, go back to Google, search for the news, see what are the multiple sources on it, and then take a decision whether you want to tweet it, whether you want to share it on Facebook or forward it on a WhatsApp group or not. It's very important to actually hold on before you make it viral on any medium.
Pankaj Jain, is that something you would agree with, that as individuals we all have a responsibility, and this goes beyond the work that you are doing as websites that are fact-checking or calling out fake news, that everyone has certain resources and tools available to them that can do at least a basic level of fact-checking before we share or pass on any information that we come across online or in a WhatsApp forward?
Right, actually, I said it earlier also. We basically are somewhere stopped at websites only. We are only on Facebook. The problem lies with people on WhatsApp. They do not bother to even check it. They should use the basic tools, just like Mr. Jensi said just now. Google reverse image search would help them a lot. They'll give them a credibility. They can yes, they have to go beyond first page. They have to go a lot, dig a lot. But then it does help. At least it would stop all this hate mongering.
So Pankaj Jain, you've actually said that you started SM Hoaxslayer because you got fed up of receiving fake WhatsApp forwards. Jharkhand was a particularly telling example when a WhatsApp forward that talked about child lifters to beware of strangers in your area got forwarded so many times that there was almost a level of hysteria, which is why 7 people in 2 separate instances got killed in mob violence.
Right, so they need to check it, or at least I have made an image which went viral that just don't forward anything on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is not a news source. It's meant for people, for relatives and for friends, having a good time, having a chat, communication, entertainment, jokes and all. But WhatsApp is not a news source information. They should not believe in it and should not use it until they become sure of it. They should avoid these things on WhatsApp at any cost.
All right, Pratik, you have a point to make.
Yeah, so one is obviously, we are talking about different, India has a different kind of population, in the sense there's a huge rural population, there's urban population. So certain advice can be given to urban population. But, there are many parts of this country who are, for example, Jio, etc., reaching them for the first time in the life, and internet has been around for 30 years, so they have had no kind of internet literacy, while urban population has had internet literacy. So when people, let's say, in Jharkhand, in certain rural pockets of Jharkhand, if for the first time, if they see these WhatsApp forwards coming to their phones, they have no way to distinguish whether it is real or false, because they don't, we know that there's a lot of fakery out there, but they don't know that yet, because this is the first time that many people in India are getting internet. So,
Is WhatsApp particularly problematic because there is an end-to-end encryption, so therefore, people are beyond the recipients of the message. It's hard to know what is being sent out also.
WhatsApp is, the encryption is problematic in this, it's a double-edged sword. You want the encryption because we want security, the privacy as individuals, but, it makes it difficult for the platforms to sort of figure out, what is flowing on, so they can't control it. Facebook, WhatsApp is now owned by Facebook, and Facebook can't do anything about what is going on WhatsApp. But the problem is the speed at which things get viral, where you cannot leave it to individuals to sort of, make decisions whether this is fake or not. The government has to step in, the law enforcement agencies have to step in, especially when you know that it has the potential of, doing something.
Okay, now I want to take this across to the other panelists also. Jensi Jacob, is that something that, you agree with, that this has to be a collaborative effort? It can't be individual websites or individuals looking at WhatsApp forwards, though I know, for instance, that Boom Live is actually asking people to forward things that they want verified on a particular helpline. Is that something that has actually worked for you, or does it have to be now a collaborative effort that goes beyond individuals or individual websites, that brings in the government, that brings in social media platforms like Google or Facebook or Twitter?
Yes, I mean, our WhatsApp helpline, I would say, is a drop in the ocean, because at the end of the day, on any given day, probably we receive about 10 to 15 forwards, many of them which do not convert into stories, long-form stories, but we do make an effort to, in fact, tell them on the WhatsApp helpline itself that this is either true or false. Most of them, which are false. Many of them are repeated questions that come to us because of the many stories that we have done in the past. Many of them keep asking us the same thing. But coming on the point of whether the government should get involved, I have a very different point of view there. The moment you invite the government to do anything, there is a kind of danger of censorship. Because I remember a superintendent of police from a specific city, he wrote to us saying that he's in charge of an area which is, you know, which there is a lot of communal trouble there. Now, he wanted to find out, how do you get to the origin of who has sent this WhatsApp message? Now, my whole point to this entire discussion is that, you know, many a times when we actually try to look for the origin or the source of who has sent the message, you are entering into a dangerous territory. It becomes very difficult, you know, to see how that is going to be used or misused by, you know, different agencies. So which is why I'm not too enthused or excited about this entire part of government being involved in this. But I think the mainstream media is, you know, who needs to step into this. They are the ones who have a wide range, who have a huge spread. They are the ones who actually need to do shows, who need to, you know, call out fake news much more in a more concerted manner than probably what they are doing right now. Getting involved, any of the security agencies, frankly speaking, there are a lot of dangers to it. But I do feel that, yes, the cops and the agencies need to be more alert about how these messages can be put out.
So I agree with Jency. When I say that, you know, government needs to get involved, law enforcement agencies need to get involved, what I mean is that there have to be advisories. For example, recently when a video went viral in Baroda claiming that Indian Muslims are celebrating Champions Trophy win of Pakistan's Champions Trophy win, Vadodara police sent out an advisory saying that this is an old video. So it is like a weather advisory, you know, a fake news advisory that, you know, such a such thing is happening. And there has to be sort of, it has to be done at a national level, because fake news is a national phenomenon now. So when I say that, you know, government has to get involved, not exactly in, you know, sort of take legal action, but, you know, educate people in the sense that, you know, such thing is
but
happening.
But beyond the government, and Jency, perhaps you can come in on this, what about social media platforms themselves? I mean, for instance, in the United States, Facebook is now tying up with organizations like PolitiFact.org and Snopes.com, where particular links which are known to be fake news will also have a link to the Snopes.com article which will call it out. Do we need something like that over here? Can platforms like Facebook and Twitter have resources which they can devote to this? What is the way forward when these engines seem to be really what is in a sense giving an impetus to fake news?
What I think it's about, there are two points with these WhatsApp thing. One is that people are not aware, like Pratik said, the rural people or the people like our relatives who are not very much into like browsing and all,
yes.
But everybody uses WhatsApp, right? So first thing is they don't know how to check it. And the second and most important point is people are not bothered. People don't want to check it. They want to believe, if they like it, they want to believe in it. So we need to reach to them through what I believe, through all the regional sources, through regional newspapers, regional channels in their languages. So they basically keep updated with it at time. Now many have started it, but still it is like a very small drop in the ocean. This should be
WhatsApp forwards are concerned. But I want to talk about, you know, broaden this beyond WhatsApp forwards and also talk about the innumerable fake news websites that seem to have proliferated, some of them almost overnight.
It's actually quite difficult. I mean, it can be done because they have slashed down each and every pirate sites and all. So if they come across all these fake news spreading websites, they can do it.
Right.
But again, it's on them. It can be done easily because there are many websites who are doing it daily basis.
All right. And in fact, altnews.in has called out several of these fake news websites. But people continue to go to them. People continue to get information from them. Which brings me to another aspect that doesn't seem to have been talked about a lot, the whole echo chamber aspect of Facebook, that once you've liked a particular post, you seem to be fed content which is similar to what you have already expressed a preference for or a like for. So there could be people out there who have gone to such a fake news website and liked a post and are now seeing more content which is similar to that.
Yeah.
And probably haven't come across altnews.in at all.
It is quite true. In fact, you know, Facebook has echo chambers. So I would say not website, but Facebook pages. Let's say postcard.news Facebook page. You go and like a post there, and then you get fed more of those. So yeah, that is definitely a problem. And while I don't think, Pankaj mentioned piracy. Piracy is a legal issue. Now, fake news is not strictly a legal issue, and you can't take down websites. But what these platforms at least need to do is, like they have partnered in the U.S. with organizations like PolitiFact and Snopes, they need to partner with certain organizations in India which are fact-checking things and at least alert the users of their platform that, such and such link could be fake.
Jensi, is that something that you see is possible, and could you, in fact, rope in the Facebooks and Google presumably is doing something along those lines anyway, even if it hasn't really started in India. But what is this collaborative effort going forward that will take this beyond individual websites that debunk fake news one post at a time, which obviously cannot deal with the deluge of misinformation that's available online?
Yeah, Ankita, in fact, all three of us were part of a Google summit about 2 to 3 weeks back, where, in fact, more than 170 fact-checkers from across the world had come, and we were all discussing about how to counter this phenomenon of fake news. In fact, the one thing that probably we all agreed is that we should not be calling this fake news, first of all, because we probably are doing a disservice to the entire concept of news itself. It's active misinformation and disinformation campaign that is going on. Now, in fact, Google is doing a lot of work because they are tying up with journalists across the world. There's something called as a First Draft News, which is also actively working with journalists across the world, training them in tools that they can use to figure out how whether a certain news is fake or not, and then disseminate it to their readers as well. Now, there are different other tools that are going to come up. Whenever there's a story which comes up, there will also be a widget which will show whether are there any fact-check websites that have disproved that news or not. So, in fact, there's a lot of work that is happening. Facebook, according to me, in my opinion, is one of the biggest platform that is being used by all these fake news sites. In fact, if you look at some of these sites, they have their huge following on Facebook. It's not so much through Google, but it's through Facebook, because Google can actually punish many of the sites by pulling their stories down in the search. But as far as Facebook is concerned, they are working with some of the companies abroad, but not in India as of now.
Well, there's a larger question to be asked also about whether these fake news websites are entirely ideology driven or there's a certain revenue angle to this as well. And so, if that is the case, then how do you go about addressing that?
So my understanding at this point in time is that a lot of them are definitely ideologically driven. But the revenue angle has become a more prominent part for them. They have realized how they can game the system. Like, Jensi was saying that Facebook has become the main sort of channel for them. So they have created multiple pages where they push their links. And then they have these audience networks, these nude, semi-nude squares at the bottom of the article, which when you click will take you to an article. And they earn a lot of money through those, through these audience networks like MGID and RevContent. So they have figured out how to make it, make fake news a business model, essentially.
So, Jensi, would you say the more salacious the story, the bigger the clickbait, and therefore, people, they're the same stories that people would also share or forward without perhaps checking on them at all?
Yeah, I guess so, because at the end of the day, who's the most favorite among all these forwards that are going? It's the Gandhi family. Anything related to Jawaharlal Nehru, anything related to the sex life of Indira Gandhi. Look at these forwards that are going around, and who's creating these forwards? In fact, this should be a subject of a research or a study that should go on, that what is it that makes us so excited about the sex lives of politicians, or probably a politicians of a certain ideological bent or a party. Now, there is a very clear campaign that is going around Now, all these parties need to understand that today probably it is a Congress or someone else. Tomorrow it could be the other party which is going to be facing this. This kind of misinformation campaign is going to affect everyone. It's going to impact everyone sooner or later. That's something that probably ideologically driven, websites and probably these kind of sites need to understand.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because isn't that, again, one of the central problems of calling out fake news, is that you can call out the fake news as such by doing fact checks and verifications, but you can't call out the fake news makers or the fake news generators, since they all function under this cloak of anonymity.
Right. Generally. Yeah, that's exactly, because as Pratik also mentioned sometime back, the mainstream media is not the problem. The problem is actually these anonymous writers who are writing on all these websites. Who are these writers? What is their background? If someone needs to check on any one of us, probably they can go back and look at what are the stories we have written. We can be traced back on Twitter, on Facebook, everywhere. Who are these anonymous writers who are writing for websites like Postcard News? I cannot figure out, where are these writers coming from? And what are they writing? They don't source, they don't attribute, they do not add quotes, they do not tell us where they have sourced the information from. It's horrible journalism. And I get very angry with my friends when they send me Postcard News website stories, because the one thing that I tell them is that if you, after being educated, if you can't find out, whether what is a good news site and what is a yellow journalism site, then probably you should not be reading news at all.
Can you call out the advertisers?
I tried emailing one of the advertisers. I tried emailing MGID, but they wrote back to me that, we are not responsible for the content that we are putting, for the websites. While Google AdSense, on the other hand, they say, they actually write back to you. If, for example, if you put your ads on certain kind of posts, they write back to you saying that, you're violating Google principles. So there's also an issue with the morality of these companies who are running these advertisement networks.
Yes, Pankaj, you had a point to make.
Yes, just as Pratik was saying, this was one of the points while we were attending that Google APEX summit, that they are Google AdSense are working on it, and they would be looking for loading down their ranking and all. So they are pretty serious about fake news. Google is pretty serious about these things.
Okay, quick last comments. Gen Z, do you get death threats ever? Do you get any sort of feeling that, the work that you're doing is actually pressing buttons somewhere, or, you made this point about it being a drop in the ocean. What is your strike rate like? How many fake news posts do you actually manage to call out? And do you feel that there is a purpose to this, or does it have to be a far larger effort?
Yeah, it has to be a far larger effort. In fact, we have been lucky not to get any death threats at any. I think Pratik probably is battling that in some form or the other. But we do get a lot of trolling on Twitter. In fact, there are many people who write to us separately as well, saying that, which party do we belong to? In fact, I find great pleasure when we try to debunk anyone from the Congress, people from the AAP, people from the BJP, because we like everyone to be confused and let them figure out, what ideology
the equal
we believe
opportunities
in.
Because at
the end of the day, that's not our job.
Well, you must feel vindicated if you've got threats of this kind.
Obviously, there's a lot of hate on social media. One possible, I don't know if you can call it a death threat, but I got a call once. But generally, it's been okay. And I don't think we are working at a level where we are threatening, those who are, using this whole fake news machinery to forward their political, ideology. So we are not at that level yet.
Right. Well, we certainly wish you all the very best, because it certainly is a start, and we certainly hope that more individuals, more corporate entities join this battle. Indeed, the mainstream media too. We all have a responsibility to fight fake news, as the nature of the medium keeps changing as well. Thank you all for joining us on the Buck Stops here tonight.